Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Audio courtesy of the UH Browns Radio Network. What?
I love Jim Donovan just making sure, play-by-play voice of the Browns, who has essentially seen it all in Cleveland. Preseason, regular season, so this is nothing new for Jimmy. But he gets on there and he's like, oh, this will be the norm. Get ready. And I think Browns fans just have to get ready. Maybe you already are. Maybe you don't even need to be told that.
Joel Bitonio confirmed that. We'll talk about that coming up at 7:45 this morning. We will get back to Guardians as well later on. Again, thanks to everybody for participating. We've already given away the Guardians jersey. Big Guardians jersey giveaway. Curtis Danberg was just in here at 6:40. Great guy, VP, communications, community impact over the Guardians. Fantastic folks over there. They're in first place, 2.5 games up. We'll bring them up again coming up a little bit later on. Now, Deshaun, by the way, Browns training camp updates brought to you by Lake Tech Information Technology Services and Bud Light. Now, Deshaun, before the game, had an interview with Aditi Kinkabwala. And there were some people, I saw it, I thought it was fine. There were some people that had a problem with it. We're going to play this audio here. We'll let you guys be the judge. Now, you can hear it. You can see it. It's all over the internet. It was in the pregame leading up to the game against the Jaguars. Aditi, who will join us at 7:20, Deshaun Watson, audio courtesy of News 5 WEWS. Hit it.
Get ready to get on the bus. Let's just start with this one. It's been 19 months since you played a game of competitive football. How are you feeling about that?
I'm super excited. I'm excited to get out there with my new teammates and go out there and compete. Each and every snap, I want to make sure I cherish that because I'm not sure when the next time I'll be able to get out there with those guys. So I'm super excited.
As you say that, your eligibility is still in question. And although this appeal is ongoing, I have to ask you, the initial ruling from Judge Sue Robinson made a very specific point of saying that your lack of remorse played into her decision-making. It's been a part of the narrative surrounding you. What is your response to that?
Look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. My decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back. But I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that, you know, I am a true person of character, and I want to keep pushing forward.
Grow and learn. We fully expect that there will be some time that you are away from the team. What is your growth on a personal level look like? How are you spending that time?
I know I have a lot of work to put in, especially on the field, to be able to make sure I'm ready to play whenever that time comes, whenever I can step back on the field. But also, the biggest thing is I want to continue counseling, and I want to make sure that I'm growing as a person, as an individual, from my decision-making on and off the field, and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm just evolving in the community as much as possible, and that's for the Cleveland community, that's the NFL community, and beyond.
Okay, we appreciate the time, Deshaun.
Thank you.
Audio courtesy again, WEWS News 5. What'd you think?
I thought, honestly, you asked what I thought? I'll tell you exactly what I thought. I thought, oh my God, he's not getting a full season suspension. This has been something brokered by the NFL and the team. That's exactly what I thought. I'm just telling you, that's what I thought. And I thought this means he's going to play this year. And the fact that they allowed him to play in the preseason game.
How'd you get that out of that?
Because I overanalyze everything. And I think we've been looking for breadcrumbs to try to explain, you know, what's going on. I did not expect him to be able to play on Friday when he actually played. And then I saw the apology. I said, all right, they brokered something. We're on the verge of a deal. And I expected to hear something either over the weekend or maybe today. I jumped to too many conclusions for you.
So they said you have to go out there and you have to apologize.
No, no, we'll... I don't think it would have been that. I think he would have said, all right, he knows that he has not apologized for anything yet. There's been no remorse. It was actually even documented in Sue Robinson's report that he did not show remorse. So the NFL said, hey, you have to give something. You have to give something. We'll come off our full season. We have to start to make this be the healing and the apology tour, and it has to start. We know what the reaction is going to be from the crowd in Jacksonville. So if we're going to let you play in this game, then there has to be something. You can't just go out there and play and never have apologized for anything.
So he had to apologize before the game to play in a preseason game?
I think it was all part of the conversation behind the scenes. I think there's been a lot of conversation behind the scenes.
I guess I'm giving him a little bit more credit than that.
Are you?
Yeah.
You'd be the first. I haven't seen a lot of credit thrown his way for a lot of how he's handled this.
Some people thought what of the interview? Or they thought the apology was quote-unquote staged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's basically the only reaction I saw outside of Cleveland.
If it's a public apology, yes, there's going to be ways that you handle this. I don't understand why that's a problem that you put it on television. Okay, fine.
Well, it had to happen right before the game. I mean, this didn't happen before a training camp. It didn't happen after the trade. It was a bad press conference.
You control it then. You control everything. Like, he didn't have media availability after the game. It's all controlled. Mm-hmm. So it's fine to control. You want your message to be controlled, especially something that's sensitive. You controlled that message. What I'm saying is how I give him a little bit more credit than that. It's like, well, he had the opportunity to say something, and he said something. I don't know if he knew that there was any sort of a deal. I can't say that there's any sort of a deal. This is the first I've heard of this. It's 7:08 in the morning on a Monday. This is the first I've heard of this since I saw the thing happen live on Friday. I didn't hear anything about some possibility of some deal or anything like
you
that.
You asked me.
I didn't see any rumors. It wasn't like I turned off my phone all weekend.
You asked me my opinion. That's how it came off to me. That seemed like something.
Was
that,
it genuine to you?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, but we do this all the time. We're gauging. I think he saw that he not only. I mean, he's not oblivious to how have reacted towards him.
But you can also say
he's getting crushed in every, and by the way, he's also getting crushed. I told you, because, you know, training camp, he's not going to get booed at training camp. These are Browns fans. They're dire Browns fans. But you go and look at the comments from Clevelanders on social media for his apology, and it was a bunch of Clevelanders that we don't talk to on a daily basis.
No.
They were like horrified. They thought it was the least genuine thing they'd ever seen. So he knows how bad this is. Even if you're completely unaware or delusional, you know what the reaction is. His team knows what the reaction is.
Up until this apology, maintained complete innocence. Now, you can always maintain your innocence. People don't understand this, or like at the first blush because they're mad, okay? But if we just get past our anger for a second and think, you can be guilty of something, or you can feel that you've done something wrong and also feel or apologize for something you perceive as wrong, even though you feel as if you didn't do anything wrong. You could always say, I didn't know at that time. I had no idea. You've been led astray, whatever it might be. He can say that. I'm a little bit shocked right now. I never put those together. I never put that thought together. I was like, here's a microphone. He's about to play this game. He knows that the reaction's going to be rough. He knows that there's going to be people booing him out there. Here's a chance to say something. He took it. He said something, and there it is.
Hey, listen.
I didn't think anything like that.
I could be totally guilty of overthinking it. I think every step of the way, Browns fans have all had to overthink every single bit of this. Have we not, as Browns fans, all thought by now we would know the conclusion?
I thought so, too. I thought we would.
We're sitting here. Preseason games have been played. In fact, Jacksonville's played two of them. It is August 15th, and we haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anything. And in fact, there haven't even been leaks about when this is going to come out. The only leaks we really have gotten over the last 4 days are that maybe what you told me there was something.
The Dove Kleiman thing from Pro Football Network, which I don't.
I don't know.
I can't pick that guy. I don't know what the guy looks like. I have no idea.
Him on.
I've never had him on. Has he been on the station before? I'm sure he's been on the station in some capacity. I mean, the station's been on nearly 12 years now.
The only leaks that have kind of come out, I think Peter King at the very end of his column this morning.
I was reading it this morning.
What'd he say? What, go to the end?
I was in Garoppolo, and then what else do you got there?
At the very end, he goes through the apology and what he thinks at the very end.
He writes a lot about Deshaun Watson.
He goes, the adieu haiku. And he does it in a haiku. I have no idea why Peter King does. He do haikus?
He's done this at the end of every column forever.
Yeah. I've never made it to the end, apparently.
This is it. Congratulations.
He says, ruling on Watson, we wait. No way I'd wait now. Settlement, 12 games, period. That's it. So he says 12 games. I think Albert Breer has said 10 to 12. I've seen more and more kind of think he's not getting the full season. And so, yeah, we're overthinking everything, Kenny, and that's fine. And I know there are going to be some people and say, how dare you, Anthony, not think his apology was genuine. First of all, I never think apologies are genuine. When I've apologized, I've known for a fact they weren't genuine. So why would I assume somebody else who's a complete stranger?
You've apologized to me. Actually, you never apologized to me.
Very rarely.
No.
Very rarely. How many genuine apologies are there truly when they are scripted or they are in that setting, very sanitized setting? I don't know. Call me cynical. That's fine. I am.
Well,
I don't assume many apologies are ever truly genuine.
You are cynical. All right. Well, the person who did the interviewing, Aditi Kinkabwala, CBS Sports, Browns preseason TV. She'll join us next. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about what she saw as well on the sidelines, you know, watching the Browns on Friday. And, yeah, Deshaun had to knock off the rust. And certainly we are worried about Anthony Schwartz and whatever performance that was on Friday. You can call it whatever. That wasn't playing wide receiver. We will bring in Aditi coming up next live on The Fan. Browns training camp updates brought to you by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy in Mentor.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. My decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back, but I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that, you know, I am a true person of character, and I want to keep pushing forward.
Deshaun Watson, audio courtesy of WEWS Channel 5, News 5, I beg your pardon, who airs the preseason games. That was Deshaun's apology. The person who did that apology, or excuse me, the person who interviewed him during that apology, Aditi Kinkabwala, CBS Sports, Browns TV. She joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Find her on Twitter at @AKinkabwala. Aditi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ken. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. We're doing all right. Aditi, you did the interview. You saw people who liked the apology. There are people who didn't like the apology. You've been a journalist a long time. Your thoughts on how Deshaun Watson's apology came off?
I think that he is still in a somewhat difficult position in that there are still some ongoing legal questions, right? There's still this issue of his eligibility and what Peter Harvey is going to decide and then what happens beyond that. And then there's also still a civil suit that's alive. So I think that there are people that would have loved to have heard him say perhaps more, but there are limits to what he can say. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though, that I don't really... It's my job to ask the questions, right? But sometimes there are limits to how you ask the questions. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things that for weeks, you know, I'd been talking to the Browns and saying that, you know, how are we handling when he plays on the field? Because largely, as you saw on Friday night, you know, Josh Dobbs played well. He came off. We talked. We interviewed him. We interviewed Wyatt Teller. MJ Emerson had this great pick six. He came off the field and when he was done playing, we interviewed him. And this is the first time that anybody was going to see Deshaun Watson, who, right or wrong, has been a very polarizing figure. I mean, not right or wrong. I shouldn't phrase it that way. But Deshaun Watson, factually, has been a very polarizing figure in the NFL for the course of the last 19 months. And this is the first time that we're going to see him in 19 months play football. And so, you know, I was saying, I think it is important. Obviously, as a journalist, you want to be able to talk to him. But I also said, and then there was the conversation, well, will it be just football? And I said, how can it just be football? But then again, what is time and place? You know, what is the situation? It's not like we're sitting down for an interview like Real Sports here. And so anyway, this is sort of what was brokered. How about you have a conversation with him as he's going on the bus, as he's getting on the bus? And I think what would happen on the field was played by ear after that. And then it was, okay, if he's getting on the bus, this is not like a proper sit-down interview where you get into anything in depth. You're essentially only given three questions. That's what we had on the sideline. So it was the same exact idea. And I said, well, I can't only ask about football. That wouldn't be fair. And so this is where, I mean, to that end, I think that at least he was aware of that. And so this was a decision on his part that this is what he was, how he was going to address anything that came up. And that's what came up. And that's what he said.
Yeah, Didi, by the way, we thought you did a great job. Now, would we tell you if you did a bad job? Probably not. So we're going out of our way to tell you we thought you did a great job.
If I can say, like, so Friday night she was doing the game, something a little bit lighter. I'm going to say this to everybody, Aditi. So after the game, I texted her. I said, I thought you did a great job today. And she's like, you can tell me if I did bad. I was like, Aditi, I swear to God on my sons, I thought you really did a great job.
I thought it was a great booth overall. I thought Chris was great. Joe should be doing this. Joe should be doing this week in and week out at a network level as well. All of you were great. But I do want to know, because when you get that assignment and you, I think, were more than fair, I think you're exactly right that it couldn't just be about, hey, what's the first play from scrimmage? Like, it's got to be more than that. The world is watching. The NFL world wants to hear from Watson. When Sue Robinson says in her report that he hasn't shown remorse, all right, this is an opportunity for Watson to do all of that. And how it looked
is... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how it looked was how it looked. But how was your feeling in the lead up to it? Were you around him for a few minutes before? Did you get any opportunity to talk to him before that? How did that whole thing go down?
I did chat with him for a little while, yes. And when you mentioned that in the report, that was the one thing. You know, like when you say when you get this assignment, I don't want to sound you know, it's silly. It's kind of like the same way that you're saying about Deshaun Watson's apology. People who want to give him the benefit of the doubt in some way or believe that he has grown or he has learned or whatever are going to appreciate that. People who think that he's the scum of the earth are going to continue to think he's the scum of the earth. So it's just kind of the way the world works right now. People who are going to respect me as a journalist are going to. People who are going to think otherwise are going to believe whatever they are. But please, like, allow me to at least say this to you, because the two of you are my friends. I spent weeks asking for this, and I'm sure everybody has been asking for this. I mean, I know that Real Sports has been asking for him. I know that the Pivot podcast has been asking for him. But within the parameters of the game and my assignment as the sideline reporter and knowing that he was going to play in this game, it wasn't just the Browns saying, oh, okay, Deshaun Watson is ready to say something. Here, you go ahead and you can have him. And if that was the case, then they would have just put out a statement, right? And then when you mention the remorse, I think, Anthony, for me, if you're given 15 minutes, then there are a whole lot of questions you'd like to have elaboration on. But if you're given three questions and you know one of them has to be focused on the fact that this young man is playing football for the first time in 19 months, then the thing that really struck me was that, was the complete lack of remorse, because people have been talking about that from the very first time that he spoke when he signed with the Browns. And I know that that is sort of dicey again, because how far can you go? How far can you go when you're still sort of facing some legal things?
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, I think that that was hard. And so how did I feel? Yeah, you know, the truth of the matter is that I've never had any time with him before. I never covered the Texans when he was there. When I covered the Texans, the quarterback was Matt Schaub. I've never met him. So this is literally, you know, I've seen him on the field, obviously. He's often, we've talked about this on the radio, he's always walking off the field with Josh Dobbs, and Josh Dobbs has several times peeled off to talk to me. I have not met him, and so, you know, I said, like, okay, I think I need at least, like, 3 or 4 minutes to at least, like, shake his hand, talk to him, make a little small talk to just kind of get a sense of who he is. And my feeling was that he is what you've always heard about him, very polite, very respectful, kind, friendly. I think that he has been constrained or limited in what he can say because of everything. And then I don't know that this is fair, but my sense is that perhaps there was a little bit of a weight in being able, taken off in being able to say at least something. And I think that all the things that he has been accused of have to be, I mean, and maybe rightly, maybe wrongly, it's not our place to sit here, you know, like the judges will decide that, I guess. They have to be hurtful. But I think the idea that people think that, I mean, for lack of a better word, when someone shows no remorse, you think that they're a psychopath, right? So I think that that probably personally has been incredibly hurtful to him. And you did hear him apologize to his team and his friends and his family, you know, a few months ago. And again, I think that that's probably because he was limited in what he could actually say. So, I mean, I'd like to believe that that wasn't just me pressing him and forcing him to say that. I'd like to believe that that's where he is and was, and that he wanted the opportunity to be able to say that.
All right, Aditi, we'll get to the football here shortly and what it looked like.
Thank you, because, oh my gosh, can you hear the nerves in my
voice? No, I think you're, I think this is important. This is why it was a great, it was absolutely great in terms of you doing it, because you are a journalist. You've been a journalist. And yes, you've also done all this TV stuff and game day stuff, but this was important. It was good that a journalist did this, because you obviously wrestled with a lot of this going into it. You obviously did. You had worked on this to secure it. And so I guess I'd ask you, because Ken was a little taken aback by something I said earlier. He asked me my reaction, and I said, oh, I think for him to agree to do this and for the Browns to allow him to do this, I think it means that something is getting brokered behind the scenes. And I may be overreacting. I may be reading into it too much. But did you get any sense that any of this matters in terms of whether or not he's going to be eligible to play football this year, whether or not he needed to get on the record with some sort of remorse after what Sue Robinson said?
I, you know what? I don't know, because I think it would have been much more forceful if he thought that this would, like, if this was just a calculated move. And I know that people are saying that, but I think that if people, this was truly calculated. Okay, let me do this. Let me try to help my situation right now in sort of a last-ditch effort. I think it would have been more. I think, you know, he's faced the Cleveland media. He's done a press conference. If it was, weighing on him that way, I think that it could have been more. And although I said to you that, you know, my relationship with Deshaun or my having met Deshaun was just then, I do believe that there are enough people in that building who have vouched for who I am. You know, Peter John Baptiste has worked with me for almost 15 years. That's the vice president of communications for the Browns. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Haslams and J.W. Johnson must think something of me to have offered me this position as the sideline reporter, which, by the way, was before they signed Deshaun Watson. You know, the Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, Josh Dobbs, any of those people could have told Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson could have Googled me. Deshaun Watson's agent could have spoken. The NFLPA could have talked to Deshaun. People know that I'm not sitting here to pull punches in some ways. I didn't get what I wanted. What I wanted was a sit-down interview. What I wanted was to ask all the questions that we all have after meeting with Sue Robinson. I think that if Deshaun really thought, okay, I need to do something and I need to just completely speak in a different way and that's going to save my NFL season, I think we would have seen something different. So I don't think that this was just calculated. I think that genuinely for a week he's had to sit there with everybody saying, see, even this federal judge says that the guy doesn't, you know, give two whits, and the guy is just showing no remorse at all. And I think the other piece here is, right, he also said that he's been going to counseling for months. I think that sometimes, and I'm speaking globally right now, I'm speaking generally, I'm not speaking about him because obviously I didn't get the chance to ask him and I don't want to put words in his mouth. But I think sometimes we all, as individuals, act without the intent to hurt someone. And then there is hurt. And we sometimes wonder, but why, but why, but why? And we need sort of our eyes opened as to why our actions caused hurt. And when he talked about the counseling and he talked about the way that he believes he is growing and he is trying to grow, maybe that's part of it. Maybe where he is today is different than where he was 6 months ago.
Aditi Kinkabwala joining us here on the show. Find her on Twitter at @AKinkabwala.
Oh my God, can we get to the football?
Well, I was going to ask, I go, what did you think of his play? I thought he looked a little nervous. I thought he felt it was a little surreal that, hey, I'm out here, I'm playing football. I guess I'm giving him a pass.
Schwartz also had two balls go. No, I mean, what about the ball that went through Anthony Schwartz's hands and then the other ball that went off of Anthony Schwartz's hands?
Oh, I said to a couple, because people were going, well, you're not hammering Anthony Schwartz. I go, I got plenty for Anthony Schwartz. I thought Anthony Schwartz was terrible.
I think it's like a cumulative. I think that especially when you haven't played in 19 months, you get one good play and you get a little spring in your step, right? And so they weren't able to run at all. They weren't getting anything up the middle there at all. You complete maybe that first pass to Anthony Schwartz and things feel a little bit better. That ball thrown to the sideline that went right off of his hands, that was a beautiful ball. It was a beautiful play. It was a beautiful ball, all of that. So not that I'm blaming the whole first-team offense on Anthony Schwartz. I'm just saying that I think it was hard for him to get going when some things didn't go his way. And obviously this is limited. I think had we seen more than three series, mm-hmm. He could have settled in some way.
And no Amari Cooper either. So, I mean, that hurts.
Yeah. So I think that's a piece of it. You know, like what I appreciated is that there was clearly fluidity coming in and out of the huddle. He definitely seemed to be in command out there. Everybody has nerves. I mean, it's funny, you know, Chris Rose, Joe Thomas and I were walking from the car into the stadium and I was like, guys, I think I'm a little bit nervous, or like, guys, I'm nervous. And, you know, Chris did his usual, like, Aditi, you've done this forever. Like, it's really not any different than what you've always done. And I'm like, but it is different. Like, it's in the game and it's just new. And I haven't really done live shots anyway in a while. And Joe says, you know, I think it's really good to be nervous. And Joe said that almost every single game he ever played. And then he said this during the broadcast, because we'd been talking about it pregame, he did get nervous. Like even later in his career, he would get nervous before a game, and that was good. And that sometimes he'd like try to manufacture that nervousness. So I think that Deshaun having some of that is not a bad thing. That's because he's excited to play. He wants to play, and he wants to do well. You know, I saw Dobbs before the game, and I was like, you feeling nervous? He's like, a little bit, but excited. I'm really, really excited, just excited to get out there. And then, guys, how well did he play?
I love Josh Dobbs the other
right?
day.
Right? Okay, so, like, didn't you feel going into the game, and I asked him this on the sideline, but going into the game, people kept on saying he can't be the backup quarterback. Let's say Deshaun Watson is suspended for – is out for 10 games, and Jacoby Brissett is your starter. People have been saying there's no way Josh Dobbs can be the number two. There's no way he could be the number two. He can't. Do you feel a little bit better about him as the number two after watching him Friday night?
I do, yes.
Right?
I do.
And then, like –
all right, so if we get Jimmy G, see a Jacoby Brissett.
Oh boy!
Is that what you're saying to Didi?
That's a hell of a thing to say.
Is that what you're saying to Didi?
No, I don't. You know what? This is a staff that really likes Jacoby Brissett. This is a guy that has seen a lot of football, been in a lot of different places. His teammates really like him, and you know, Jimmy G has certain things that have dogged him, right? And I think that you have to trust. It's funny. Mike Tomlin was just asked who he thinks are the five best coaches in the NFL. And he listed Kyle Shanahan. And Joe Thomas talked about how much he loved playing for Kyle Shanahan. And whether you like him or not, people everywhere respect Kyle Shanahan as a coach. And when Kyle Shanahan is saying that Jimmy Garoppolo has more perhaps physical tools to throw the ball, is a better thrower of the ball than Trey Lance, but I want to move forward with Trey Lance, you've got to think about that. You've got to think about the way that Kyle Shanahan talks about how Trey Lance can read a defense. And Trey Lance's toughness.
Well,
and again, we're not going to knock Jimmy G, but don't constantly think that the grass is greener somewhere. Maybe Jimmy G is coming. I don't know. But what I do know right now is that Jacoby Brissett is very well liked in this locker room. We'll see some of what Jacoby Brissett is made of in these joint practices this week. You know, guys always say that joint practices are kind of like a game setting, and even more so. So let's see how that works Thursday and Friday before we write him off.
Aditi?
And I think that there's a lot to be excited about. I think Jerome Ford was putting smiles on people's faces. I think MJ Emerson was exciting to watch. I think those young defensive tackles, although a little bit, you know, up and down, a little inconsistent, you could see that they've got some fight in them. They've got some physicality in them. I think that there's a lot to be excited about. And that young, that defense, you know, the ends weren't playing. John Johnson wasn't playing. And, yeah, Jacksonville was moving early. But when they needed to bow up near the goal line, even without their leaders there,
yes,
they did so. And I think that that's a good sign, too.
Aditi, we thank you so much for the time. We will talk more football in the future, I promise.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Aditi Kinkabwala on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, we got a lot to unpack there. Actually, we also have to just ask you, what did you think of the apology? What did you think of Deshaun Watson's apology? 216-578-0092. You guys next on The Fan.
I think that he has been constrained or limited in what he can say because of everything. And then I don't know that this is fair, but my sense is that perhaps there was a little bit of a weight in being able to, taken off and being able to say at least something.
That's Aditi with us moments ago. 923thefan.com is where you'll find that in its entirety. Aditi did the interview with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson giving his apology. You thought, and I'm a little bit surprised. Now, I have not been like off Twitter all weekend or off social media or anything like that all weekend. And I did not think that your first thought was when you heard the apology, you said there's a deal afoot.
Right. Right, just
I did not take that.
And part of it was just based on...
Or I didn't take it that way.
What we had heard or maybe hadn't heard from Watson up until that point.
Mm.
That, you know, before it was, I'm going to fight every case till the very end, clear my name. Then he settled all the cases. And then we're getting to this point where we're waiting on an official ruling. And a lot of people think could be out for the year. And now here comes the apology right before his first action, wearing a Browns uniform, playing in a Browns game. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. And yes, I was jumping to conclusions. Absolutely, I am.
A lot of people agree with you, though. A lot of people agree with you. What did you think of the apology? 216-578-0092. There was people who were saying it was not genuine. There were people who were saying a couple of other things that really we can't repeat. There were a lot of people who said, fine apology, we're moving on. You know, what did you think of the apology that Deshaun Watson had? I think Aditi was right when we just played it, where she just said, there's some things he still can't say. You got one civil suit out there, and everything's up in the air with the NFL. So he said he apologized for putting people in a bad spot, putting the women in a bad spot, making them feel that way. You know, it's not like he can just come out and go, I did all these terrible things. You can't do that because the NFL could just say, well, you just said it on what became national television because it's been played all over. Now we have the full authority to suspend you for whatever. Like, leagues have done that before. You think you're agree? If what you're saying is true, or what you speculate is true, agreements have been come together for a long time. And depending on what somebody says publicly, it can change that agreement significantly. And it could have changed this agreement significantly if he would have said too much. I thought it was definitely something he had been having in his head for a long time. But some people, the nefarious way of it, I don't know. I just didn't get that. I didn't. I think there's things in there that he may, and we see it, and we saw it in the depositions, we saw it in the text. I think there's things in there he feels bad for. I think there's things in there that he feels he was set up with. I think it's certainly a gray area, to say the least. I think when he said that, when he gave his apology, there's things that he's been running around in his head many times over. He said it. That's a statement. That's where it stands. Maybe we'll know more over time. Maybe we won't. I mean, he gave the answer. They did not have media availability with him after the game, and away we went. And I thought he looked nervous coming out. I thought that
understandable.
This was a surreal thing for him. I think it was a surreal thing for everybody. I was like, I can't believe this guy's playing for the Cleveland Browns. This is amazing here. This is what an unbelievably interesting story. And then you saw the stuff on social media with the people and saying, boy, they said some terrible things about him in the end zone there. I mean, it's the beginning, and he knows he has a long road to go with this. And I think that on Friday, I think that part of people are going, well, you're being too hard on him. Stop being so sensitive about it. He's a professional quarterback being paid $230 million.
And
you know it, and I know it. And Anthony Schwartz sucked, too. I can say both things are bad. He looked rusty. He looked a little bit nervous because he knows now that, hey, this is real. Eventually, I'm going to play. And eventually, it's not just behind a fence in practice. Like, we are going to play in front of people here, and every time we go somewhere else, they're going to let you hear about it to kingdom come.
And not only that, he is going to be expected to pay this trade off, this gamble, this risky move.
Yeah.
He's going to be expected to pay it off in a huge way.
It's an historic deal, even without any of these allegations, even without what the judge had written about him. It's an historic deal that people would let him hear about. But now when you add all these other things, clearly it's going to be something that he has to deal with for the rest of his career and, frankly, for the rest of his life. And so this is the beginning of it. So if he was a little bit shaky coming out, I kind of expected it on Friday. But we'll just see where the rest of this week goes, because now you have another preseason game coming up on Saturday. Sunday, I beg your pardon. I don't really know if the NFL is going to make a decision by then. I hope they do.
We don't know.
And now Jacoby Brissett yesterday took the bulk of the first team snaps. So now we're starting a transition phase to Jacoby Brissett based on really not knowing if it's going to be 6 games or if it's going to be 12 games or what it's going to be. Peter King wrote today at the end of his article, settlement 12 games. That's what he thinks it's going to be. We'll see what you guys think about that, but I want to know about the apology. What did you guys think of the apology? 216-578-0092, the dangerous 1-820 on the Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.